From the Crate, thanks to your friendly neighbourhood record store, Southbound Records.
Kia ora, Troy, how are you?
Good, thank you, Rachel.
Nice to see you in here
yes,
this morning.
Yes, indeed.
Nice. What are we talking about today?
Well, today we got a couple of reissues and we got a brand new thing, but what we're going to do is we're going to bang through the reissues because it is the first three LPs from Wire.
Ooh.
And available on vinyl again for the first time in God knows how long. You familiar with these three records here?
Not hugely, no. I know of, but not enough to give you track listings and specifics.
Well, you
about
don't need
them.
To because they're written on the back.
So yeah, there you go. They do that job for you as well. These are nice. These are really nice. So what's some fun facts about them? What would be
well, good to know about? I always think a fun fact about Wire is the first album, Pink Flag, which we're going to hear one tune of. The music stopped when the lyrics ran out. That's how they knew the song was going to be, how long a song was going
to
be.
That seems like quite a good measurement, I have to say. Like
it is.
It's logical. It follows a, you know, sensible. Seems sensible to me.
It's there's a lot about logic when it comes to Wire, which is weird coming from guys who came from a fine arts background. but no, I'm kidding.
But it's fine. It's fine. We're all like that.
let's hear Three Girl Rumba and
all right.
See what happens. Just came in and accused Wire of ripping off Elastica.
controversial opinions.
It's quite a nice cover art, isn't it?
Yeah, they're really good.
Well, this one here...
They're quite, like, light and fluffy.
Do you think?
Yeah, because it's like... One's a picture of just, like, one solo flag, one solo pink flag.
Pink flag.
Set on a sky blue background. I mean, it's pretty.
Okay, and what is it about this?
And then we've got... Well, this one's, again, it's kind of like a...
So a slightly mournful flower display. There's, like, a table sort of plinthy thing with
on
a singular flower.
Okay, but what is the... But you've missed the most important thing about this.
Ooh, coming in loud there. I don't know, mate. What is the most important? Chairs missing. There are no chairs.
Yeah.
Amazing.
There you go.
There we go.
Is this track off the
This one here
missing?
Is from Chairs Missing. This is was kind of an underground hit single, and it's a... Outdoor Miner is... what it's about is... a serpentine miner, which is an ant, a kind of ant.
Quite like that. I think this is the track I'm the most familiar with from Wire.
Yeah.
Didn't realise it was about an ant.
Yeah, serpentine miner. Isn't that cool?
It is cool, actually.
So, of course, Wire came out of the late 70s punk thing in England.
The punk thing.
Yeah,
punk
although what they had to do with the punk thing, I'm not exactly sure.
So whereabouts are they from?
London.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to have this in my head all day now. But that's all right, there's worse songs to have in your head.
When they released this one as a single, they had to do some editing and double the length of it because how long is this album version?
This is a minute 30, I think.
Yeah, so that wasn't good enough for a single, so they just went, oh, okay, and like cut some sections and repeated them.
Just say Lies on His Side several times and just loop the guitar around.
Now, this one here, which is from their album 154, is called The 15th, and it's... about a specific strain of mathematics.
And what particular strain is that?
I can't remember. I used to know. But in terms of numbers, this record is called 154 because at this point, when they recorded the album, they had done 154 gigs.
Wow.
So the thing about Wire, apart from being like a quite conceptual and rather accessible, easy to listen to, is they're still going, and unlike many people who came out of the punk thing, they're not doing greatest hits tours. They're still kind of on the edge of avant-garde sort of rock and experimenting with different stuff. An excellent group. But these three here, these are the three things which they'll be known for in 500 years' time, I reckon.
And as Tess said, they are beautiful record covers as well. The slips are really nice.
I tell you another cool thing about it is that they managed to get the rights back from Harvest, who's part of EMI, and they've released them on their own.
Oh, that's really cool.
Pink
that's
flag.
Very cool.
So those are the...
That's pretty punk.
Yeah. I'm going to say something else about Pink Flag. I'm holding the last copy we have in the shop.
Okay, everyone run. Everyone run to Southbound after this.
Don't run now because...
After this. It won't be there to pick up. You've got to race Troy back. You're there.
Yeah, you can do
as
that.
As soon as he walks through the door with your cash in hand.
So what do you think?
I like it. I really like it. Maybe I'll race you back.
Okay. Tess?
Yeah, I like it. I liked the Outdoor Minor one.
That was your favourite one?
Yeah, it was definitely my favourite of the three Wire tracks, but...
Weirdly enough, this tune here was covered in about 10 or 12 years ago by Fisher Spooner.
Which
a cover of
we
it.
Actually played,
played at the start
morning.
Of the show, actually.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Sarah, what are you going to say now?
Sarah's just lurking. Oh, we love it. We love
presents?
It.
Presents? I love presents. All right, so those are the first three Wire albums now reissued. We've got them all in store. Next one we're going to talk about is another reissue, and this is one that Tess chose out of
well,
our...
I didn't choose it. Troy chose it.
Okay.
Troy chose it. Tess signed off on it.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
It's the On You Sound label has put most of their catalogue, early catalogue, back in print. And one of the classics, I don't know whether it is actually called a classic. I think it is. It's a Dub Syndicate with Dr. Pablo. Now, Dr. Pablo was a guy called Paul Stroud, who was, I think he was in Creation Rebel as well, maybe. Anyway, he in the 70s, he heard the great Augustus Pablo on the melodica and thought, geez, I'd love to do an album exactly like Augustus Pablo. I'll even call myself Dr. Pablo. And also in tribute to Augustus Pablo's East of the River Nile, the album he did was entitled North of the River Thames.
This is
like this
absolutely...
It'll come back in.
We'll be back. This is an absolutely amazing album cover. He's sitting on a green, very, very green pond. You can see a silhouette of a man playing the melodica to some ducks.
Look at them all, and they're going the other way.
Yeah, they're not a fan of the melodica.
So tell us something about this tune we're listening to.
I thought it was a really interesting mix on a dub track with those... I don't know what noises they are, but the
noises sort of spacey
that are coming,
sounds, the spacey sounds,
like,
yeah.
Is that a synth?
Yeah, it'd be a synth keyboard.
Yeah, that coming through is like quite interesting, I thought.
But was it the fact that this is a cover of the Doctor Who theme tune?
No, it wasn't that.
No?
That wasn't why I liked the track. But
That's why Rachel liked it though, was it?
I know, we were talking before about Delia Derbyshire.
The amazing Delia Derbyshire, who, even though Ron from the BBC Radiophonic Workshop gets the writing credit for that Doctor Who
classic
thing.
Classic man.
Yeah. well, actually, no, because he'd written it, given it to Delia. She had done it and goes, here it is, Ron, we've done it. And he goes, oh, my God, did I write that? And she goes, oh, some of it.
Some of it.
Yeah.
It's quite an infamous story. She is amazing, and it's definitely the best. Like, I think the Doctor Who music peaked there, and they've just ruined it since by trying to get a bit rock and roll with it.
I don't know if they've ruined it, but certainly... her take on it was everything you needed about it.
Exactly.
You know, she was at the edge of the future. She was in the future before anybody else, I think.
I reckon. I love all of the Radiophonics Workshop. There were so many women involved in the Radiophonics Workshop, and they made a lot of incredible music for...
You only say that because they were the best ones in there.
They were the best ones in there. But they were amazing. It's such a...
Did you ever hear that white noise?
No, I didn't.
Oh, nah. Delia is on the... Yeah.
Sarah's yelling, it's awesome. It is awesome. But
we're speaking of awesome, this All New Sound, all the reissues, we've got like a bunch of the Dub Syndicate stuff, got a couple of singers and players, but this one here, I just love this one. This is great.
It's nice.
Yeah, I mean, I really like this one as well.
It's quite relaxing. I get the duck pond vibe is quite, it's quite nice actually.
Sort of
suits it.
I think you find it might be the River Thames.
The River Thames.
No, it certainly looks like a duck pond.
It looks like a duck pond in that pic.
So of course, up at Southbound, we listened to a podcast this week, which was like an hour long interview about On New Sound. It was Adrian Sheward was talking in it. So was Dennis Bovell. It's really good, but that like put us into the mind of, hey, hang on, we just got a bunch of them reissues. Maybe we should tell people in case they're interested.
Well, I think people certainly would be. This is great.
This bit. Crank this. This is great, man.
It's like industrial melodica. There are your space noises, Tess.
I love them. I do. Love a good synth.
There you go.
Maybe that's the ducks.
Trying to get away.
Yeah.
Oh, I should have read the sticker on the front. Dr. Pablo was indeed a key member of Creation Rebel.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, but it was also on such albums as Cry Tough, Dub Encounter Volume 1 by the voice of the Old Testament, Prince Farai. And this was actually the third album appearance by the Dub Syndicate, who, of course, were assembled by...
I don't know. Who were they assembled by?
Oh, Adrian.
You're looking at me. I was like, you're the expert here, mate. I don't know.
All right. So that's one of the All New reissues. Dr. Pablo and the Dub Syndicate north of the River Thames doing the Doctor Who theme. Now, the next thing we've got, it's kind of it leads on from what we were saying about Delia Derbyshire in a weird sort of way. What this is...
Well, it's moody, I like it.
Yeah, well, not just moody, it's moogie.
Moogie!
It's,
this
is the Moog Sound Lab is... it's Surrey University. And what it is the Moog Industries have, like, donated a certain amount of Moogs to the university. Students can use them, anyone can use them. But a record label they started was called the Moog Sound Library. Now, in the first three releases from that, there was a release from Mika Vaino, who was in Pansonic, was his last recording before he died in an accident. Dave Ball, who's The Grid, and he was in Soft Cell. And this gentleman, Jamal Moss, better known as Hieroglyphic Being.
Ah.
So Hieroglyphic Being came in and mainly used their special 2014 reissue of, what is it, Tess? Is it the Moog 55? System 55? I can't see from here.
Yeah,
it's the System 55.
Yeah, Modular System 55.
So he used that to create this album in an afternoon, improvised. And the big thing which separates this, well, there's two things that separate this from the other Hieroglyphic Being recordings. One, Hieroglyphic Being usually has very lo-fi chipped sounding stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This is of the highest fidelity. And the other thing is, for some reason, Hieroglyphic Being decided to do vocals on some of it, as we can hear now.
Well, not right now.
Well, not this second, but...
I was like, I'll fade it up and it'll be so smooth, but no, it just decided to go quiet on us.
So which track is this?
Well, it's all sequences of one long piece, and this is sequence 6.
Oh, yeah.
This is very cool.
Yeah.
So if people want to get that, that one's the Moog Sound Lab? Is that what it's called? Or is it called Moog?
I don't know what it's called. It might just be called Hieroglyphic Being. It won't say on that cover. Those are the they've done these weird sort of generic Moog sleeves for it, which I think is kind of cool. They
same. It's just like brown paper basically with a, it says Moog on it, and the central hole is where you can see the label on the actual LP.
That's right. But yeah, we got all three of them in. The other thing which I think is really cool is oftentimes when we're thinking of hieroglyphic being, he seems to encompass a kind of people like to say to lump him into like an Afrofuturist sort of side of Chicago house. I don't know what he thinks about Afrofuturism, and I particularly like the fact that rather than that, we've got him using an old technology to do exactly sounding stuff that he does with his usual material. So I wonder if you can have a retro futurist style. I don't know. Maybe.
I'm sure you can. Maybe he would like that term more.
I don't know.
Afrofuturist. Who knows? This is great though.
Yeah, it's really awesome. The whole thing is really, really cool. I'm just going to tell you something. It's got all the information about how it was recorded on here. Paul Smith produced it. Paul Smith used to run a label called Blast First, and weirdly enough, Paul Smith was at one time a manager of Wire.
Ah, there we go. everything is connected.
Yeah. But it even tells you the signal paths on here going to a Neve. Very nice. And recorded to MacBook.
There you go. This is the ultimate, and I mean this with love and affection, this is the ultimate nerd record. It's like very cool and very niche, and you get all the info you want out of it as well.
I think you could well be right, Rachel. It could well be.
That was fantastic. I really enjoyed that.
All right, so Hieroglyphic Being, along with the other two Moog Sound Lab things by The Grid and by Mike Aveno, we've got them on the shelf at Southbound, as we have all of those On You Sound reissues, well, a whole bunch them. I think there's about 12 in total. I stuck up on the wall yesterday. Dr. Pablo and the Dub Syndicate is the one we were listening to. And we started off with the first three LPs from The Magnificent Wire, which would be Pink Flag, Chairs Missing, and 154.
I kind of want all of them because they look really nice sitting next to each other as well.
I think you do need all of them.
You
really,
do.
Don't
it's
you?
Like, it's like buying three books in a series or something. You can't really have one without the others.
It's a triptych,
I reckon. Hey, thanks so much, Troy, for coming in today.
Thank you.
You better race Troy back if you want Pink Flag, because it's the last one.
It is the last one.
It's the last one.
From the crate, thanks to Southbound Records, 132 Simon Street, next to T White Spikes.